Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Raptors Over Everything, a podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me to discuss day one of free agency is Vivek. So Kawhi Leonard decided to load manage day one of free agency. This is the most in-character move for Kawhi, yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, it's hilarious. Everyone was waiting for his meetings with the Clippers and the Lakers. Everyone anticipated that it'd be today. And instead, you know, he's playing chess while everyone else plays checkers, and he's going to see exactly what the landscape is like on the East Coast, exactly what it's like on the West Coast, and then decide on, you know, where is best for him to go about chasing another title. And so, you know, I think it's a smart move on his part. And, you know, having just read your column on where it puts the Raptors, I do tend to agree with you that, you know, they're sort of the more time this takes, it definitely favors the Raptors over the Lakers or the Clippers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so basically everybody just rushed ahead. I mean, like, I forgot the fact that there was even a new deadline in place, this season, where they moved the moratorium deadline or whatever to June 30th. That's officially the at 6 p.m., that's officially supposed to be the first time you're supposed to be able to contact people. But,
right,
like, I don't know. It just blew right past that. Like, the biggest, you know, domino outside of Kawhi was KD. And KD announced, he was going to announce on this random Instagram page that everyone randomly followed. But then Woj, an hour ahead of time, was just like, hey, by the way, he's going to the Nets. And Kyrie's going with him. And DeAndre Jordan's going with him. And so, you know, it just took a lot of the surprise out of the thing, and it just felt like a steady stream of leaks throughout. And, you know, as Raptors fans, we were just sitting there, you know, patiently on the timeline waiting to see what happened in terms of Kawhi. And there's, you know, a report that, you know, okay, maybe he met with Magic, and I don't know. There's also a conflicting report that maybe he didn't. I mean, it's all very confusing. But ultimately, I think so far, like, over $2 billion have been spent in terms of contracts. And yeah, Kawhi is just sitting back and chilling. I mean, first off, I think this is a pretty smart move on his part, right? Because you probably want to just have as much information as possible. It's not like the Clippers, yeah, Lakers, or Raptors were going to be in a rush to do anything else. They were all going to wait on Kawhi. And so he figured he could wait. And yeah, now we have a better idea sort of what the landscape looks like. I think in terms of just winners or losers, I would say out of the three, I think the Clippers might be the biggest loser from day one. What do you think?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that, you know, especially when, you know, the fact that they were in rumors for KD, they were in rumors for Jimmy Butler, they miss out on both of them. Kawhi said that, well, based on the reports, Kawhi said that, you know, he was looking for someone to team up with him with the Clippers if he was going to consider leaving the Raptors. And so to know that he's not going to be there with Kevin Durant or Jimmy Butler, I think that's a significant blow. I really think it's between the Lakers and the Raptors now. And when you look at the Lakers situation, with them having to wait and wait and wait, and all these other, you know, lower tier free agents making their moves because, you know, they need to capitalize on the money that's available. And I think it would be pretty hilarious if Kawhi is actually, you know, going all galaxy brain on them and making them as weak as possible before resigning.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That would be the best case scenario for Raptors fans, for sure. But I think, you know, like, I agree with you. Like, the Clippers, like, I mean, as much as they wanted to sell, like, imagination and sort of organizational stability and this and that, and, like, we got free snacks on Tuesdays or whatever, like, Like, it's just like ultimately, unless they had another big name to come with him, it just doesn't make sense for Kawhi to go to the Clippers. Like, he's a very competitive player. We've heard throughout the entire season that his focus is on winning a championship, and you know, like you're just not going to win a championship. Yeah, as good as Kawhi is with the Clippers, if they don't add anyone else of any significance, and you know, you look at that roster, like it's like they got like Gallinari and Lou Williams, like it's just not enough. That's just not enough. But
right.
So I agree with you. The Lakers are the biggest threat in terms of signing Kawhi away from the Raptors. With the Lakers, though, I do also think that from their perspective, you know, I thought that if they had signed Kawhi, obviously they would, you know, have no more, you know, cap room. They would have a mid-level exception or whatever, but it's really not enough to fill like basically 10 roster spots. They would have had to get very lucky with some players taking discounts. And just sort of the lay of the land, I felt like a lot of mid-tier free agent guys that, you know, they may have been able to convince to come on a one-year deal, like Garrett Temple or like Trevor Ariza or pieces like that, or even Ed Davis.
Taj Gibson,
like all these old veteran guys that, you know, may have potentially, because of the situation, taking a discount. Those guys are all off the board. And so I'm not saying the Lakers can't fill out the rest of the roster, but like it's just not going to I don't know. It might not be as smooth of a sell, because I think if you're Kawhi and you walk into, you know, a meeting with whoever, whether it's Jeannie Buss or Rob Pelinka, like you're probably going to ask them like, hey, so the rest of this roster, like you got three guys here, you got more head coaches than like actual players right now. Like, how are you going to fill out the rest of the roster? And I don't know. It's tough. Even guys like, what's his name? Reggie Bullock is apparently taking meetings with the Knicks and he might leave. So this is strange. Yeah. It's real strange.
Yeah, to say the least. And again, you know, when you look at someone like Danny Green waiting as well, I would tend to think that on some level, Danny thinks that there's a decent chance that he comes back to the Raptors, because if not, you look at the season that Danny Green had, you know, it's the dream contract year, right? Where, you know, he finishes second in the league in 3-point shooting, plays
huge plus minus.
Yeah, plays most of the games. He's, you know, him and Siakam were two of the sort of pillars of the Raptors' regular season. Makes his contribution in the playoffs, has that big game three. So, you know, I think this would have been a perfect opportunity for him to cash in. Again, him showing how much he values winning as well. He said on Hoopsite, you know, he was looking to ideally maximize dollars, maximize situation. And he might be in a situation now where he's saying the Raptors are by far the best situation. When you look at, you know, it seems like he's also in talks with the Mavericks and the Lakers and the Clippers. He probably realizes now that, you know, as long as Kawhi comes back, that is by far the best situation for him to return to.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. And look, Danny's a guy that's going to get paid. Like, if I had to guess, it would probably be something like a mid-level exception where he makes like 8 to 9 mil per year and he gets multiple years. You know, he's talked about how he wants like 3 to 4 years on his contract, which makes sense given that he, you know, recently turned 32 and stuff. So, that's gonna be interesting to see. I mean, we talked about this in our previous podcast, but like for the Raptors, like, yes, they have an avenue to keep Danny. They have his full bird rights. They can sort of basically pay him as much as they want to, but, you know, it is getting to a point where the luxury tax is an issue. I know people don't want to hear about that. Like, obviously, you know, you just made all this money on this playoff run. You just sold like, so much merchandise. I mean, you just look at it every single day. The Raptors are, you know, out of stock with, you know, OVO merchandise or championship merchandise, whatever, right? So, you know, people don't want to hear about it. But, I mean, realistically, after Marcus Gasol picked up his player option that was worth $26 million, and if Kawhi comes back, then on top of that, you're looking at basically paying triple the amount of money to keep Danny Green. And so that might be a bit of an issue there. But I think, you know, to me, I'm still worried about the Lakers in the sense that it is still a pretty good situation in the sense that LeBron can at least say to, or at least, I don't know, he could say, I mean, we'll see if it actually is true or not, but, you know, he can pitch the idea that, look, this is going to be a situation where Kawhi and AD, you guys got to play, you know, together. You guys are close in age. I think AD's 26, Kawhi's, you know, turning 28, or he is 28 now. you know, you guys can run Los Angeles for a while, and it's a pretty good backbone. It's just the rest of the roster literally isn't there. And so, I don't know. That could be appealing, and I could potentially also see, like, the business side of it, because the Lakers obviously have such huge sway in terms of just their marketability, and so maybe that could be something. But I think for the most part, the Raptors were the best situation for Kawhi to re-sign on, especially on a short-term deal, and I think after today, you know, I don't think that changed that much.
See, that's where one of the things I've been thinking about is I look at Kawhi, you know, talking about how he wants to be the best and be regarded as the best. On some level, I would tend to think that he's looking at LeBron and saying, okay, that dude's got three.
Mm-hmm.
If I sign up to play with him, I'm going to stay one behind him.
Yeah.
Any ring I win, I'm going to stay one behind him. So is that a situation I really want? Or I can re-sign with the Raptors for at least one more year, get a title there. Now I'm at three. KD's at, you know, got his two. So I've passed him. And LeBron's at three. So now, again, I can reevaluate the landscape and play free agency exactly how I'm playing it right now and see what's best for me from there.
Yeah, for sure. And if you look at the, you know, if you look beyond sort of the just, you know, Kawhi picture, if you just look strictly at the Eastern Conference, based on the moves that were made today, I don't really see a team outside of Indiana and obviously Brooklyn, although Brooklyn is sort of a long-term thing. I don't see any team that definitively improved the roster. Okay, Miami as well. But Miami is, again, these teams are sort of lower down on the totem pole, right? Because if you look at it last year, the three main contenders along with the Raptors were Boston, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. And if you look at Boston, they've effectively downgraded the roster. They don't have any bigs left. Al Horford's left. You know, Aaron Baines, who was their second best big, also left. You know, Terry Rozier, I guess he was a negative for them, really, but that's still a depth piece that they've lost. And, of course, they've lost Kyrie. And just, you know, they got back Kemba Walker, which is a nice get for sure. It's a nice, you know, bit of saving by, and, you know, Danny Ainge. But I don't think that's improved. I think you agree with that, right? I think the Celtics took a step back.
Yeah, I thought, I thought if they at least brought back Horford, it would have been interesting. You know, when those talks were there that instead of just signing Kemba Walker into space, that they were going to look to work a sign and trade. And that would allow Horford to come back. I thought that might be interesting. But yeah, you look at that center position, you look at Gordon Hayward still, you know, he needs to prove that he can return to that Utah form. Again, the chemistry, one of the things I wrote about in my piece this morning was that I don't think you can just assume that with Kyrie gone, the chemistry is just going to click, right? There were so many issues with that team.
Oh, yeah.
That it's going to take a lot more than just Kyrie walking away. And so when you look at a guy like Horford, who's, you know, been considered a strong team guy, you know, even with the knowledge that Kyrie's gone, that he's been so willing to leave, I think there is still more for the Celtics to figure out. So I don't think they're great. I think the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, Giannis will continue to get better. So I think they will be a significant threat. And then should we move on to Philly?
Well, I mean, yeah. Look, let's actually talk about Milwaukee just a little bit more. So Milwaukee basically came into this offseason with the idea of we can either marry ourselves to this current core or we can sort of keep our options open. And they kind of decided to, you know, settle. And I think in the sense here is that, like, they had three major free agents to take care of. Well, really four. I think Mirotić was one too. But I think based on the way he played in the playoffs, as Raptors fans know, like, Mirotić just was not a positive for them. And so they let him walk. Apparently Barcelona came through with like a $70 million pound transfer, which is like, I have no idea how these clubs are getting this money. Maybe that's where the Neymar transfer fee went to, was to get Mirotić on the basketball club. But yeah, I mean, they had three guys to take care of: Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton, and Malcolm Brogdon. And they brought back two of them. They got Lopez for $54 million over 4 years, which is pretty expensive. They brought back Middleton to a 5-year, $178 million deal, which, again, very, very expensive. And then that basically left them with no money to pursue Brogdon, who then they signed and traded to Indiana. So,
right.
I don't know, man.
What do you think of that Brogdon contract? I thought that was a lot of money, man. Like, I know Brogdon, the 4 years, 85.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, like, I get it. Brogdon's, you know, 40, 50, 90, really solid, good leader. But I feel like he's just got a very limited ceiling. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a bit of an overpay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's funny because it's funny that he landed in Indiana, because the player he reminds me the most of is George Hill. Like, he's a George Hill with a little better, like, slashing game. And I see what your point is in terms of, like, he is very effective in terms of what he does. Like, his percentages are great. He was, you know, close to a 50-40-90 season. His efficiency around the basket and also how often he gets to the basket is really surprising for a guy you wouldn't otherwise sort of see as explosive. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's just a function of need. Sometimes it's not even necessarily about, like, what your, you know, what you're worth. It's really just about what you can negotiate for it. So, I mean, I just felt like in this situation, there weren't that many great point guards to go around, especially ones that were willing to go to Indiana. And so,
yeah,
they went for, I mean, it's good. I like Indiana the way it is right now. They're a very balanced team, based on sort of what they've done. But, you know, okay, so, I mean, yeah, we can all agree Milwaukee sort of, A, married themselves to this core, which doesn't leave them much flexibility. I mean, they even signed George Hill to a three-year deal, so this team is the team. And we saw this team, actually a lesser version of this, or better version of this team, losing the playoffs just now. And so, I don't know. I would be a little bit worried as a Bucks fan. I'd be pretty pissed, actually, because my team didn't want to pay the luxury tax even after making it to the conference finals, but...
Right.
But yeah, that's an issue for 2021 when Giannis is a free agent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do tend to agree with you that they might not be as good as the pieces around Giannis might not be as good as they were last year, especially with Brook Lopez. I think a lot more people will respect his three-point shooting and play him a bit differently. But I do think Giannis's improvement itself, you know, if he can take another big leap, especially with the jumper, that I think that's the biggest thing that needs to change, right? He's already talked about, you know, seeing Kawhi and Gasol in pick and roll action, trying to figure that out. So if he can develop a jumper, I think that changes more than, you know, what needs to change with the pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I do think, you know, when I look at the other teams, I still consider Milwaukee to be better. I feel like the one thing with Philly is, you know, we saw over the course of this postseason just, you know, the sheer value of star power. And so, you know, Horford and Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson, they can fit in nicely together. But I feel like in a playoff setting, the lack of a Jimmy Butler who can sort of control the tempo, recognize, you know, when he's got to sort of take over the offense, I think that's going to hurt them more than, you know, having three guys that fit nicely together.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, you know, they had a weird roster before and it just got weirder. Like, doesn't it feel like that to you?
Yeah. I mean, so one of the things I was thinking about is, even defensively, one of the things they were able to do was hide Tobias Harris on Marc Gasol,
mm-hmm.
and put Joel Embiid on Pascal Siakam. But now with Horford in the mix, I don't think you can afford to do that, because then you've got to have Tobias Harris either on Kyle Lowry or, you know, chasing around Danny Green, because you're definitely not putting him on Kawhi Leonard.
No. Yeah, I mean...
Assuming those guys come back, of course.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, the talent there is... It's never a question of talent with Philly. It's always a question of fit. I mean, I'm just looking at now. I think defensively, that is... there's a lot of flexibility at that roster. And I think there's so much size on that team that, like, defensively, it's going to be tough. They were already very tough defensively. But, right. I mean, who's going to, like, dribble the basketball? Like, I see that... You know, Ben Simmons can dribble, but ultimately at the end of games, he's not someone that can run the offense. And, you know, Embiid, I mean, he can't really dribble. Al Horford can't really dribble. I mean, who else they got? Josh Richardson, like, he's not, he can handle, but he's not really a playmaker. So I don't know. It's a weird roster. It's a really weird team. And I think ultimately what they had too few of were wings. And that was when they had Jimmy Butler and JJ Redick. And now mm-hmm. that they're gone, I mean, I don't even know. Plus, like, I think there's a whole element to the fact that Redick was so good on those dribble handoffs with Embiid. And I think Richardson can do some dribble handoff stuff, too, because the Heat do a lot of handoffs action as well. But it's not nearly the same running dribble handoffs with Redick versus running dribble handoffs with Richardson. So I think there's a lot of questions for the Sixers to figure it out. Also, they don't really have a head coach that doesn't seem to have a full grasp of how to make this all work. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm very confused.
I think one thing that happens or I think tends to happen, you know, when these deals happen and there's new faces, is everyone is able to clearly envision the theoretical ceiling of a team.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you haven't seen it play out on the floor, so you don't see all the problems that could materialize. And so I think the theoretical ceiling of this team is pretty high. If Josh Richardson can be all that he can be, if Tobias Harris can go back to being the guy that he was for the Clippers, because obviously he took a backseat when he came alongside Butler and Embiid and Simmons. So I think those are the things that people will look at and say, yeah, those things can fall into place. You know, Josh Richardson for a stretch played like a borderline Eastern Conference All-Star. So all those things happen and, you know, you're looking at a championship team, but those things have to materialize. So I don't think they're an instant, you know, championship contender. But the one thing it does do is, you know, when you look at it, especially with the way Brett Brown likes to manage the minutes and the rotations, is it now gives you someone like Horford to sort of run the offense and anchor the defense when Embiid's off the court. And we saw firsthand how things sort of just go south with Philly when Embiid's off the court. So that's probably one big thing that they do address with Horford.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The one team that has now risen in prominence significantly is the Nets, who, you know, obviously secured both Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Now, granted, Kevin Durant's probably not going to play next season because he's recovering from this Achilles thing, but going forward, that's going to be a force to deal with. And I think just in terms of relevance and sort of star power, like, I don't think the Nets have had this type of, you know, in their prime type of talent in a very, very long time, basically since, you know, Jason Kidd and Vince and Richard Jefferson are running the things down there. So, I mean, where do you stand with the Nets? Because I think there's a very big variance. They could be, if they play to the full potential, that is a very dangerous team. And if they don't, you could also see that sort of being like a Celtics situation where it doesn't necessarily live up to the sum of their parts.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that completely, because if you look at Kevin Durant, if he comes back in 2021 and looks like the player that everyone recognizes him as, you know, one of the top 2-3 players in the game, then yeah, that's a big problem. Kyrie Irving, he needs to keep his knee healthy. I think both need to grow as leaders, and that's probably going to be the biggest X factor, because well, we saw how Kyrie fared in Boston, having his own team and wanting to have it on his own back. And so that first season without Kevin Durant, how he's able to mesh with everyone else, you know, I don't think you want to rub people the wrong way right off the bat. So they'll be hoping that he's learned from his Boston experience. And so if he has, then yeah, the ceiling, you know, the ceiling is the roof for that team, because you have two incredible scorers that can score at ease in the half court in the playoffs. That's exactly what you need. And then, you know, defensively, they'll still have some things to figure out, because most teams have tended to hide Kyrie Irving.
That KD coming off an Achilles.
Exactly. So, yeah. So yeah, you can definitely see the other side of it as well. But yeah, that's a team that you look at, especially when you have those two guys right at the top, you know, championship is definitely the ceiling.
What about the rest of these teams right here? I think Miami obviously made a big move getting Jimmy Butler, and Indiana made a big move just in terms of getting both Brogdon and also just a couple other pieces.
Yeah.
Do any other team in the conference stand a chance to sort of jump up into that next level of being elite in the Eastern Conference?
If we're saying elite and championship contention, then I don't think so. I think there's still more work that those teams have to do. I mean, even with a team like Indiana, like they lost Thaddeus Young, who I thought was really important to them last year. There's still no timetable for a return for Victor Oladipo. So that remains to be seen. And they lost Darren Collison. So, I think there's more to figure out with all these other middling teams that are looking to take the next step. But Brooklyn's definitely made the biggest moves. But again, they've got to wait till at least 2020, 2021.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm not stressing the rest of them too much. You know, like, I think Miami is going to be a classic Jimmy Butler team, and like, they play defense, but then they're not good enough offensively to do anything. And we'll see. I mean, apparently there's talks that maybe they'll try to get Bradley Beal as well. We'll see. If they get Bradley Beal, then that's a decent team. But, you know, ultimately, I'm not looking at them too much as a threat. And Indiana, like, they have a lot of good players. They have a lot of solid players, but they're like kind of like the Nets of... they're trying to like the Jazz of the East, in the sense that like, right, they have good depth, they have, you know, solid players, they play two-way action, but like ultimately it comes down to who their best player is, and I still got to see what Victor Oladipo looks like past his injuries. So I don't really know. I mean, ultimately though, I guess I'm not stressing it too much, because I'm looking at it in the sense that if Kawhi Leonard comes back, like, the Raptors are the favorites in the Eastern Conference, no doubt. And, you know, based on sort of how the rest of the conference goes, and if everyone stays healthy, obviously, like, I don't really see why the Raptors couldn't repeat. And that's why I feel like Kawhi, like, you gotta see the situation here, right? Like, this is the benefit of sitting out the first day of free agency, because now you can get to sort of clearly assess the landscape. It's not sort of, you know, oh yeah, the Clippers will promise to do this if you come. Like, no, you can see the Clippers aren't going to do anything. And the Lakers, you know, they are what they are. And so I think if Kawhi is looking at it, you know, if I were him, I would resign. Obviously, I'm biased and you're biased as well, but it just makes a lot of sense. I think the Toronto is his best winning situation, at least next season.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect way to finish off, man. At the end of day one of free agency, Toronto remains the optimal basketball option for Kawhi.
Yeah. All right, just to close the show, what's the, if you're looking at the rest of the, all those deals that were signed today, what would you say will be the most regrettable contract signed out of this entire period of June 30th?
Most regrettable contract?
Yeah.
Because
there's a couple on this list.
I feel like Tobias Harris got overpaid.
Tobias got overpaid, man. I feel like Chris Middleton got overpaid. Like, these guys, yeah. I guess, you know, the Raptors were an elite defensive team, so, like, I'm judging them on a very, very difficult scale. But, right, like, these guys did not look good in the playoffs. They didn't. And Brooke Lopez, I mean, he didn't look that great outside of game one. I mean, even Jimmy Butler, I'm just like, the fourth year of that Jimmy Butler contract, I don't really know about that. Terry Rozier, right, got a big deal. Bogdanovich got, like, $73 million. Like, I don't. Harrison Barnes, 85. I don't know, man. First day of free agency, unless you're signing a star player, I feel like a lot of these. I mean, Terrence Ross got $54 million. Like, I'm happy for him, but, like, $54 million?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's all relative to the cap as well, right? Like, next, it's like we're looking at 109 next season, 118 potentially the year after that. So those are the things that we have to factor in as well. But yeah, if there were one, just based on watching Tobias with the Clippers, then watching him with the Sixers, like, he's a good to very good player.
Mm-hmm.
Is he definitively someone who can be the third best player on a championship team?
Yeah.
The fact that that's, you know, you kind of have to convince yourself to say that,
mm-hmm,
I think shows that maybe he isn't worth the 5 years, 180. That's what he got, right? He got the 5 years, 180?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would have hesitated to give him that.
Yeah. Also contender for that, Al Horford, who I think is 33 years old now. 4 years, $109 million. I mean,
listen, Al shaky, Horford's man. Agent or Todd Gibson's agent needs to get in touch with Ed Davis.
Yo, poor Ed Davis, man. Ed.
I don't know what that dude needs to do to get paid.
He's just been a really good player, and he only ever makes $4 million a year at most. I feel bad for this guy, man. And he's bumped around in like a whole bunch of different franchises. Yeah, Ed Davis is like one of my favorite Raptors prospects. I was so hyped that one time he had like a 20-10 game.
You thought he was going to be the next Chris Bosh, didn't you?
I didn't think it was going to be the next Chris Bosh, but yeah, definitely I thought he was the next Chris Bosh, man. I didn't know any better. I mean, yeah, him and Amir Johnson, that was I like that front court combination. While the Raptors winning like 26 games a year. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy Ed Davis has been in the league a long time. It's just like, come on, man. Someone's got to pay Ed Davis real money at some point. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, that does it for the podcast. Keeping this short for now, because there's not that much Raptors news to go around. When there is more Raptors news to go around, you know, based on where Danny Green is going and where Kawhi Leonard is ultimately going, you know, hopefully staying, we'll be back on the airways. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Vivek for joining me on the show, and we'll be back sometime later in the week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.